Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God, who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with pretexts for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others. Though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
It's so good to see you all here today, especially with a football game at 1. Good work for getting here. So glad to see you. How many of you have seen the movie As Good As It Gets? Oh, a good amount. It's one of my all-time favorite movies and winner of many Oscar awards. The story is about a man whose name is Melvin Udall. And Melvin Udall is crazy obsessive compulsive. I mean, he is OCD off the charts. Let me give you an example. When Melvin Udall goes for a walk, he feels very strongly that he cannot step on sidewalk cracks. He happens to live in the heart of Manhattan. So walking down the sidewalk in Manhattan and not stepping on sidewalk cracks means that he looks like a complete lunatic. He's dancing around and hopping and jumping, trying to avoid the cracks in the sidewalk. But see, Melvin Udall is scared, and he has created a world full of intricate rules in order to make himself feel in control. When he goes into his apartment, he has to lock and unlock and lock and unlock, lock and unlock his lock 3 times before he actually locks it. And then he has to turn his light on, off, on, off, on, off, on. And then he washes his hands using scalding hot water and 2 brand new bars of soap, which he then throws away. The man is out of his head. He's also the most rude human being that you've ever heard. which works out for him because no one could possibly live with him in this crazy OCD universe, and he doesn't think he can touch a single human being, so it's okay. His universe works for him, and inside of his solitary, sanitary apartment, Melvin Udall is the author of romance novels, and they're best-selling novels, and he's published 63 of them, and he's rich. So he may be lonely, but his obsessive-compulsive universe seems to work out okay for him. And everything's going along nicely with him dancing between the cracks of the sidewalk until his world is kind of flipped upside down. You see, Melvin Udall falls in love with his waitress, and he didn't mean to do that. But all of a sudden, he realizes that he loves her, and he can't think of a world without her in it. But in order for her to be in his life, he has to be less crazy. He has to start taking the medication that his psychiatrist gave him 4 years ago. And he becomes frantic and afraid. He screams to his neighbor, "She has hijacked my life!" And his wise neighbor says, "Melvin, did you really like your life that much anyway?" She has hijacked my life. The Pharisees were rule obsessed. Many of them, I think, today could be diagnosed with OCD, at least a little bit. They believed that if you followed the rules perfectly and understood them perfectly, that you could guarantee your salvation. You could be in control of your destiny. And this theory, this way of looking at the world, this rule-obsessed philosophy works well with Judaism. In fact, how many commandments are there in the Old Testament? Do any of you know? Ah, I hear it. 613. Most of us think of 10, right? It's more convenient to think of 10. We can forget the other 603. But the fact is, if there are 613 commandments, then there are so many commandments that you can't even remember them all, let alone follow them all, right? So it's the perfect system, because if you are obsessively trying to follow 613 commandments, you're always going to make mistakes, right? And when something goes wrong in your life, you'll always be able to say that you messed up one of them, or forgot, or something. Now, don't get me wrong, not every Pharisee was obsessive compulsive. Not every Pharisee was an enemy of Jesus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and Jesus reveals himself to Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea was a Pharisee, and he gives up his tomb for the body of Jesus to be laid in his burial ground. So we don't want to be too simplistic and write off the whole Pharisaic sect, but they certainly were threatened as a rule by Jesus. In fact, as Carl mentioned so well last week, the gospel that we hear for today is the end of a huge debate between the Pharisees and Jesus. This debate goes on for chapters. They are so threatened by Jesus. He has to be a fraud. He can't be a teacher, a rabbi, a holy man, because he messes up some of the rules. Not all of them, but he does it, and he does it without seeming to think it's a horrible thing. So there's got to be something wrong with Jesus. So they engage him in this incredible debate in which they're trying to nail him down as a fraud. And this goes on and on, with the Pharisees trying to nail Jesus to the wall. And in today's gospel, they ask him, "Tell us, which one of the commandments is the greatest?" I have a Jewish grandmother. She's since passed away, but I loved her dearly. And I'm hoping that because I had a Jewish grandmother from the Bronx, it'll mean that it's okay to tell you a Jewish grandmother joke, right? You're not going to get offended? I loved my Jewish grandmother. But this is a great joke. So the Jewish grandmother from New York, she gives her grandson two shirts for Hanukkah, right? And her grandson obediently goes up to the bedroom and he puts on one of the shirts and he comes down for dinner. And the Jewish grandmother, she looks at her grandson up and down inspecting him, and then she says, "So what? You didn't like the other shirt?" Now, the Pharisees were acting kind of like my Jewish grandmother. They gave him an impossible question. If he said he thought one commandment was the best, they had 612 to argue with him about, right? It was a trap, a great trap. There was no way to please them. And yet Jesus is so brilliant. He says, "Love God and love your neighbor as yourself." Two great commandments, but they're more than commandments. These are a lens through which you can see all of the law. If you love God and love your neighbor as yourself, then your behavior naturally will express the love of God, and you don't have to worry about all the details. Following this love thing makes you not need to worry about anything else. Jesus was trying to get them to see their lives in a whole new way. He was trying to hijack their lives. We live in a time in which I'm scared, and I think a lot of you are too. We have different words now for fear. We call it anxiety, we call it stress. But most of us, at some moment, maybe late at night or early in the morning, when we really stop and think about our lives, we get scared. I know I do. I mean, I have my schedule for tomorrow. It's in my iPhone. And probably you have one too. You think you know where you're going to be tomorrow, right? We pretend that we're totally in control of our lives, but the reality is we really don't know where we're going to be tomorrow, or if we're even going to be here tomorrow. And when people say, "Oh, everything's going to be okay," when something goes wrong in our lives, they're not really telling the truth. We don't know that everything's going to be okay, not in this world. We really don't have all the answers. We're not in control. And Ebola is spreading over the planet, and we don't know how to stop it. And there's violence in so many parts of the world that we don't really understand. And it's okay to be afraid. In fact, I think it's healthy. You'd have to be half asleep not to be scared sometimes. But the question is, like the question for Melvin Udall, are we going to live our lives trying to play it safe? Are we going to let Jesus hijack our lives and live for love and risk looking like fools? I love it in the movie when Melvin Udall is walking down the sidewalk next to this waitress that he adores, and he knows that if he's going to walk next to her, he has to stop dancing and he has to step on the cracks. Or when he goes into his apartment and he forgets to lock the door. Or when he wants to pat his neighbor on the shoulder and he doesn't even know how to touch him, he kind of hits him. Or at the end of the movie, he takes Carol in his arms and he kisses her, and it's horrible. He's so violent. And then he says, "I can do better than that." And he tries again. Today is ingathering Sunday. Today we invite you, as you come up for communion, to place your pledge card in a basket. I want you to say a prayer as you bring up that card. And maybe you pledged online. You can fill out the card again. We won't think that you're pledging double. Don't worry. But as you're coming up, if you put that card in the basket, I want you to think about offering your whole life to Christ. All of it, your heart, your soul, your mind. Jesus wants to hijack you, your whole self. He wants us not to be afraid, or at least to be able to risk to love, even in the midst of our fear. He wants all of you. And ultimately, we've got to make that choice. Are we going to play it safe, or are we going to take risks for God? There is no safety here. The only safety is in Him. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you call us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Yet we live in a broken world. Show us how to love you here in the urban core of Jacksonville. Merciful God,
help us to love the Lord.
Bless the nations of the earth. Help us to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for peace in the Middle East and an end to the violence in Central America. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the world.
We pray for the Ukraine and for Bruce Barcelo, who travels there.
Merciful God,
help us to love at the core.
Bless all those who are sick, hungry, lonely, or suffering in any way. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers.
We pray for those in West Africa, the United States, and elsewhere in the world who are infected with the Ebola virus. We especially pray for all those caring for them and for the families of those who have died.
Merciful God,
help us to love and
adore. We pray for the church throughout the world, especially for the Christians of the Middle East, China, in North Korea, and for this congregation here in the heart of the city. We pray especially for John, Charles, and Dorsey, our bishops, Catherine, our presiding bishop, and Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the church and this city.
For Kurt, for General. We thank you for this cathedral and for all those who support this community, giving of their time, talent, and treasure.
Merciful God,
bless
those who have died. May they see you face to face. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died.
Baby Anna. Dawn, Lex.
Merciful God,
help us to love and adore.
Almighty God, help us to be willing to risk loving you, and perhaps at times breaking some of the rules. Guide us in all that we do, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. So glad. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up high so they can find you and keep it up until the present arrives. We're so glad that all of you are with us today. Welcome, welcome. As I mentioned, oh, keep your hands up. Yes, yes, they'll find you, but you have to hold it way up. You want to stand up on the pew? Yeah, stand up. Can you do it? Way, good job. You're tall, you're a big guy. As I mentioned, today is In-Gathering Sunday, and you can bring your pledge cards up here. We do this during communion, so it's not a show, and some of you who have pledged online, and we're grateful for that as well. But we know that for thousands of years, human beings have made an offering at the altar, and so it is a meaningful thing to do. The youth are having a Halloween party this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. They will also be having a fundraiser this coming Saturday, helping with parking for the Florida Georgia game. So see the details in your bulletin. That's a great, great idea. Next Sunday is All Saints Sunday, and we'll be baptizing. Don't forget that you fall back an hour next Sunday, okay? So if you forget, you'll just be here early, and you can come to the Bible Challenge or have a cup of coffee. It's when we spring forward that people end up wandering in during communion looking confused, so... Two great pieces of information. I want you after this service to grab some coffee and go to our lobby, which has been beautifully renovated thanks to Tim Ingeman and Nina Searcy and Scott Hill, who spent days. Scott, can you stand up? He spent days designing and putting all of our things together. It's so beautiful. Thank you, Scott. So I hope you'll take a look. It's just gorgeous in there. I want to hang out and drink coffee all day there. The second great piece of news is that your vestry has purchased a law firm. Not the firm, but the building, thank God. There is a beautiful old home that is on our parking lot, not the smaller one, but the bigger of the two, which we've just bought. And the lawyers are having a hard time letting go and retiring, so they want to rent it from us until July. So that gives us time to figure out what we're going to do with this beautiful old home. Now, one of the ideas that's been circulating is to take our bookstore and move it out into that beautiful old home and serve coffee and Danishes and have a kind of neighborhood gathering place. But then some people think we should keep renting it out or have a monastic community or what? I don't know. So we're going to start gathering ideas. And if you have an idea, please let me know. And we'll be praying about it. But we're excited to have that property and looking forward to making our village around us a little more friendly and walkable. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you have entrusted us with the message of the gospel, and through the Holy Spirit you test our hearts, that we might be faithful witnesses and apostles of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us give thanks to God in the words of the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.